Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. Amen and amen. As I mentioned on Sunday, I'd like to just to share a few thoughts tonight, folks, on the subject of sickness and disease. And people have talked more about this subject these last months than ever before. You know, everybody's talking about sickness, and if I had a pound for every Christian I've heard talk about sickness these last months, I'd be a very rich man. And you find, and you've maybe heard it too from believers, believers saying something like this: Oh, wouldn't it be terrible if somebody was to get sick? You heard that? Now, they're talking about the virus. That's what they've been talking about. Wouldn't it be awful if somebody got the virus? We don't want anybody to be sick. And there's been all this talk about sickness. Wouldn't it be awful if somebody was to get sick in the church? Those folks seem to forget one thing. Sometimes it's the will of God for his children to get sick. Sometimes it is. But how is it that these last months, sickness seems to be a terrible thing, a calamity that could never be part of God's will? Have you found that? Do you ever think along those lines, or maybe I'm just the odd one out? The reality is, folks, that sometimes for some Christians, it's the will of God, the perfect will of God, planned from all eternity, that his child would be sick, that disease would come upon them, that physical illness would come upon them. Now, is God some kind of sadist that he has planned that his children become sick? Whether it's COVID-19 or whether it's some other illness, so many illnesses that we could mention tonight across the world. COVID-19 is not the only sickness around. Although if you turn on your TV, you would think that. That's why my advice at the start of the lockdown, the very start of the lockdown, way back in March, was turn off your TV. If you want to survive the lockdown, turn off your TV. Get as far away as you can from the toxic media, the poisonous mainstream media. They have an agenda. They still do, by the way. And some people call it Project Fear. But it's certainly one of their aims is to fill the population with fear. Because, you know, whenever people are afraid, they can be very easily controlled and manipulated. But contrary to popular opinion today, some people do get sick, and some of the Lord's people get sick And it's simply because it's his will. We've read tonight about Lazarus. Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. That was the message that came. Jesus was in a place called Bethabara or Bethabara, whatever way you pronounce it. I've had two goes at it and I've probably pronounced it wrong. But Jesus was 25 miles away from Bethany, where Lazarus lived, and the message comes to him that his friend is sick, and the Lord turns around and says, "Oh, that's terrible, I didn't know that." You think so? Of course not. I'm just being sarcastic, pedantic. The Lord knew. Of course the Lord knew. He's the sovereign Lord from all eternity. He knows all things. He's omniscient. And he knew that his friend Lazarus was sick. And I can just sort of imagine, you know, the Lord saying to the messenger, you know, take a deep breath. Calm down. I knew that Lazarus was sick before you told me. In fact, I have planned this. This has been planned from the foundation of the world, that my friend Lazarus would become sick. And you know why? So that I will be glorified. So that glory will be brought to my name. Verse 4 of chapter 11, it tells us there, the words of the Savior, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." It's good when God gets the glory. I believe, folks, we need to give him the glory tonight in this prayer meeting, because he's been very merciful and gracious to Little Ulster these past months. 556 deaths from the virus. Sure, it's nothing short of a miracle. God has answered the prayers of his people. And to him be the glory. Let's continue to give him the glory. Such a small percentage of fatalities from the virus. What's it? 0.02% of Northern Ireland's population have died from the coronavirus. To him be all the glory. "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Jesus is going to get the glory. Don't you just love it when he gets the glory? Isn't it wonderful when his name is lifted up and praised and people think, "What a Savior! Hallelujah!" As Philip Bliss, the hymn writer, put it, "What a Savior!" Isn't it brilliant, isn't it fantastic, whenever you hear people going out of church saying, "Haven't we got a great Savior? Isn't he wonderful?" Problem is that all too often, you know, you hear people going out of church saying, "Boy, wasn't he a great preacher, or wasn't she a great singer?" Now, thank God for preachers and singers, but we want the Lord to get the glory, the Son of God. We want him to get the glory tonight. We want him to get the glory on Sunday morning as Brother Ken comes. He was in touch today speaking about Ephesians chapter 6. That's the passage the Lord has laid on his heart. It's to do with the family. So that sounds interesting, a good topic. And I'm sure you'll enjoy it and you'll be blessed on Sunday morning. But this, we pray tonight that the Son of God will be glorified through our brother in the morning. We pray that the Son of God will be glorified on Sunday night through Brother Wills as he comes. And the word that the Lord lays in his heart for the meeting. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. It's wonderful whenever he's glorified in the healing of people's bodies. And of course, we pray for that every Thursday night, and we've certainly been praying for that during this past number of months. So, it's important that we remember that sometimes the Lord, in His sovereign will, in His infinite wisdom, plans that His children become sick. And then He steps in and He heals them. Their bodies are healed. And He gets the glory. Have you ever been in the hospital? I reckon every one of us, at some stage or other, have been in the hospital. But you're not in the hospital tonight. You're in a prayer meeting. Do you feel like saying, "To God be the glory"? The only reason we're in the church tonight is because of His goodness to us, because of His grace, because of His mercy. And so let's give Him the glory for that. He's the Lord over disease. Never forget that. The one we worship, the Son of God, is the Lord over disease. Throughout His earthly ministry, He was healing people constantly. There's almost 40 miracles recorded in the gospel record of His healings, physical healings. And yet, folks, people today, and I'm talking now about Christians, they're chewing their fingernails, and it's almost as if disease is stronger than Jesus. It's almost as if the coronavirus is stronger than Jesus. Oh dear, and you've got Christians hiding under their beds, thinking that somehow this virus has got the upper hand on the eternal Son of God. I want to just press the reset button tonight. I want to bring us back to the Scriptures. Scriptures clearly tell us He's the Lord over disease. He's the Lord of sickness. He rules over them. So nearly 40 miracles recorded to assure us of His healing power, that He controls every virus, every disease, every sickness. It's His servant. This virus that has afflicted our world these past months, it has been the servant of Jehovah God. In His infinite wisdom, He has permitted this virus to come. Now, it's not for our puny minds to work out why, Lord, why did He send it? Now, there's times, folks, that you can't work it out, but you just bow in adoration and worship Him for His wisdom, that there is a purpose behind it all. He's the Lord over disease. It's under His foot tonight. He's in the church tonight. He'll be in the church on Sunday. You'll not see Him with your physical eyes, but He's here. And how it must amuse Him, and how, or maybe to use another word, how it must bemuse Him when He sees His children worried sick about disease. I'm not saying that you never be anxious about sickness and disease. Of course, that's natural. But we're back tonight to what we touched on Sunday morning: irrational fear. Sort of throwing the Bible out the window and forgetting that Christ is Lord over disease and over sickness. Sometimes you gotta just like stop and take a deep breath and get back to the book. Now, Lord, what does the book say about sickness and disease? And the book tells us in Matthew chapter 4 and many other passages that He healed all manner of sicknesses and diseases among the people. You know that there never was a sickness, there never was an illness that stumped the Savior. Nothing was too hard for him. He never needed a vaccine. No, he just spoke the word and the people were healed. Because he's the Lord over disease. So I spoke some time ago about putting fear in its place. Let's do it again tonight. Those fears that would well up within our hearts, let's put them in their place tonight by reminding them that we worship the Lord over disease and sickness. Before the fear gets to an irrational stage. Because you know what, folks? Whenever the world sees a Christian that's filled with irrational fear, you know what they say? I want nothing to do with your gospel. Why would I want to come into church and to listen to the gospel whenever you're scared out of your wits? If the God you worship, if the God that you claim to have forgiven your sins hasn't the ability to take away your fears, to calm your fears, then why would I listen to this gospel message? Do you see the damage that an overly fearful Christian can do to the witness of the church? But you see, it's the total opposite when somebody out there, some perishing soul out there, and they see a Christian in the midst of coronavirus or whatever virus comes along, and in the midst of it, they see a Christian who's calm. A Christian who believes in the Lord over disease. And I tell you, there's nothing that glorifies the Son of God as much as a dear child of God who has some particular condition, and yet they've got peace in the midst of the storm, and they're calm. And they aren't hiding under the bed saying, "Oh, I couldn't come to church." They're not like frightened rabbits in the headlights. No. There's a peace and a calm that's controlling them. And then when you go to invite the sinner to the gospel mission, then they say, "I think I might go. I would like to hear about this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ who can give you peace in the midst of the fear and the hysteria that's gripped the world. Tell me more about him." And maybe, just maybe, at the end of September, you'll find folk in some one of these pews listening to our brother Paul speak about the Lord over disease. Best of all, and we've sung it already tonight, he's the one who heals all our souls' diseases. Do you ever get the impression these last months that people seem to think that physical health is the be-all and the end-all? Boy! And I'm talking now about Christian churches in the West. I mean, all that they've talked about, all they seem worried about is physical sickness and the virus and so-and-so's got it, and seem to have forgotten all about that there's something far worse than coronavirus, and it's sin. Something that damns souls in hell forever and ever. A lot of churches seem to have forgotten all about it. In John chapter 10 and 11, you've got a special family. Let me just leave these thoughts with you as we finish. Special family there in the first two verses of chapter 11. "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Sickness mentioned in verse 1, sickness mentioned again in verse 2. Part of the plan of God for some of his people. Oh, if you listen to the health and wealth gospel, you know, prosperity preachers, they'll say, it's the will of God that you should always be healthy. Never the will of God that you should be sick. And I've even heard these charlatans say that when they get a cold, oh, they just command the cold to leave. You know, they get a wee sniffle. I command you to depart. The nonsense of it all. Name it and claim it. Well, the Lord Jesus certainly wasn't that kind of preacher. Special family. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You're a special family tonight. We're all brothers and sisters in a special family. The family of God. And wasn't it John Wesley who said, there's no people like the people of God? Yeah. Isn't that one of the reasons why you're here tonight? Isn't that one of the reasons why whenever it was announced that the churches were going to were permitted to reopen again, that you were glad, that you had something to look forward to? During the lockdown, there's just something not right, and you were just in a bit of a daze because you couldn't go and meet with your family on a Sunday or a Thursday night. Technology's good, thank God for it, but it's not the same. You remember Hebrews 10? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And the word together there in the original means together in one place. And a church that's not meeting together and assembling together is not a proper church, not a proper New Testament church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Very interesting to hear just today of John MacArthur's church in America, Grace to You. And they've taken a stand and decided to meet in California in spite of the Democrat governor ordering all places of worship to remain closed and threatening them with fines, even threatening to cut off the power to the building. But they've taken a stand. And folks, you want to listen to that message, if you can pick it up. I listened to it this morning, and I tell you, it was time well spent. John MacArthur, obey God rather than men. You'll get it on your phone or your iPad or whatever. But not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You see, there's something called governmental overreach. Whenever the government and the powers that be take control of the church and the church becomes a state-controlled church, and that is a terrible thing. And folks, John MacArthur's one example of courageous leaders who are making a bold stand for Christ and pledging bold allegiance to King Jesus. We've got to do the same. Got to do the same. We're a special family. And Christ is the head of the family. Sudden fear. Verse 3, sudden fear, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They prayed to Jesus. Now it's interesting, if you notice it there in verse 40, it says, the previous chapter, chapter 10, verse 40, and went away again beyond Jordan. Jesus goes beyond Jordan. Jordan in scripture is a picture of death. When you go to the next world, to the eternal world, the Lord Jesus, in a sense, has gone beyond Jordan 2,000 years ago when he went back to heaven. He's beyond Jordan today at the Father's right hand. Isn't it good we can pray to him for those who are sick? Send the message like Mary and Martha, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Pray for the sick tonight, sick in body. But don't forget about the sick in soul. Sudden fear comes upon these sisters. But they know what to do when that happens. Pray. Pray. Prayer is a wonderful antidote for fear, whether it's private prayer at home or prayer on a Thursday night in this sanctuary. Audible prayer that we can hear, or maybe you're the type of believer who prays silently, and your prayers, silent prayers, have as much power as the audible prayers. They're both the same as far as God is concerned. We deal with sudden fear by going to the throne of grace. Whatever the issue is, that's why churches should be places where you've got days of prayer. Days of prayer. Whenever calamity threatens, whenever danger is on the horizon, what do? Day of prayer. Take it to the Lord. That's what they did during the Second World War. King George called for the days of prayer. During the Battle of Britain 80 years ago, during the summer of 1940, King George called the people to prayer. And there was standing room only in the churches. That's how you deal with sudden fear. Prayer dealt with Hitler 80 years ago. Prayer can deal with any situation that arises in 2020. Okay, special family sudden fear, seeming failure in verses 4 to 6, seeming failure. You've got love's logic there in verse 4, or the Lord's logic, rather. The Lord's logic, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." There's logic to the decision that Jesus takes to remain beyond Jordan. There was logic in the decision that was taken in eternity past, whenever it was planned by the divine Trinity that Lazarus would become sick. The Lord's logic. Then verse 5, the Lord's love. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The word in the original is phileo. It's a Greek word which means brotherly love. Brotherly love. And he has that same love for us tonight. Did you have a bad day? Did you have a bad week? Did everything go wrong that could go wrong? He still loves you. Do you feel like a failure as a Christian? He still loves you. With the same love that he loved this special family with. Then the Lord's leading in verse 6, and with this we finish. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. You would think that when the Lord heard that Lazarus was sick, he would have went off with the messenger, you know. No delay. And straight away, back to Bethany. But no, for some reason he waits 2 days. You see, the Lord Jesus is never ever in a hurry. He's never ever impatient. Because he knows what he's going to do and his timing is perfect. And we can trust him. And I'm sure Martha and Mary didn't understand why he did this. Why, Lord? Why did you not come right away? Why did you wait 2 days? Why? And there's times that we ask that same question, why? But let's remember, whenever we don't understand what the Lord is doing, let's remember what he said in John chapter 13, just a couple of chapters later. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. It'll all become clear when we reach the other side. So he's the Lord over disease. He's the Lord over everyone and everything. And this is the Lord that we worship tonight, and this is the Lord that we're about to pray to tonight. So I hope, folks, this message has kind of helped us to focus on the truth. You'll not find very much truth out there in the world. A lot of lies, an awful lot of propaganda, an awful lot of misinformation and false information. And a lot of stuff you hear nowadays, you've got to take it with a big pinch of salt. Filter it through the lens of Scripture. But when you go to the Word of God, you always get the truth. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 8? Ye shall know the truth. And what? And the truth shall make you free. Free from fear. Hallelujah.